Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Hey friends, welcome back to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Paresta. I'm so excited to have you back today, and I'm so excited to talk about this topic that we have coming up today as well. So today's episode is all about what a formal music education doesn't teach you. Now, don't drop out and stop listening now, because I promise you're going to get something from this, and I'm going somewhere with this conversation. This past week, I was in a Clubhouse room. And if you're not familiar with what Clubhouse is, it's an app where you basically come on just like a podcast. You can listen to different people speak and you can join as a speaker. And basically, it's just a collaborative way to talk to other people in different rooms about different topics. Anyways, and you can find me on Clubhouse at Jessica Paresta, by the way, but I would love to connect with you. But I was in a Clubhouse room the other day with all kinds of musicians of various kinds who were either musicians, producers, audio engineers, or anything else, like a variety of different musicians who were in this room titled, What Music Education Didn't Teach Me? And I went, I'm going to join this room to see what this is all about. And so I just kind of listened for a while. I love learning by listening. I love learning by just, not just in Clubhouse, but anywhere. I love learning and listening, seeing what people are writing. What are people talking about when it comes to music education? It just kind of sometimes being a quiet observer. And if you are anything like me, a lot of times that's the best way to learn is just by sitting back and observing and listening. You will learn a lot. I learn a lot more by listening than I do by talking. So with that said, I sat in this room and just kind of listened to the conversation. And they were talking about, do you need a music degree? Is it important or is it not? And I was like, this is interesting. So I'm kind of curious what they said. Well, they all started kind of talking about their experiences in their elementary music classes. And then if they did music in school, middle school and high school, and then some of them in the room had gotten a music degree and some of them had not. So the conversation just kind of took a lot of twists and turns. But with that said, I jotted down some notes while I was listening about maybe something someone said that maybe sparked an idea or that I kind of wanted to touch on my podcast or ideas that I had while I was listening. So a large reason why I wrote my book, by the way, Make a Note, What You Really Need to Know About Teaching Elementary Music, there's a link to that in my show notes, is because of everything I wasn't told or had to teach myself as an elementary music teacher, even with a degree in music education. So there were so many ins and outs when I became an elementary music teacher, even with a music degree, that I didn't know. Nobody had told me. I didn't know who to ask. I didn't know where to go. I had done all the formal classes, had checked all the boxes off my degree plan, had gotten every requirement met, but I remember still feeling unprepared. So you might be listening to this and you may be a student teacher. You might be in your first year of teaching. You may be in your 25th year of teaching, and you can kind of think back and relate to what I'm saying. So back to that room. They were kind of, there were some negative comments about why did I need to learn recorder or, you know, I feel like it didn't really prepare me. I didn't feel like my music teacher really made an effort to get to know me, didn't really make music education relevant. But the conversation was also talking about how formal music education is a good thing and how learning music theory, learning music growing up sparked an interest in why they wanted to become a musician. So like I said, everybody's going to have a different opinion about this. And like, I just liked being a quiet observer to kind of listen to these conversations that were happening in this room. But the main takeaway I got from this is the fact that they said more than anything, even the ones in the room with a formal music degree said more than anything, the best learning they've ever done is just by having conversations. By picking someone's brain who is knowledgeable about something they've wanted to learn about, that is exactly how I have learned. When I started out in my music classroom, by asking other teachers, I didn't know very many right away, but I would ask my college professor. Then I would ask the cooperating teacher I had just student taught under. Then I started slowly getting to know other teachers in my district. And social media wasn't a huge thing back then. I'm aging myself, but it's the truth. So I had to make a lot of in-person connections or on email. But let's bring it back to today. Although you have a music degree, or you maybe are in the process of earning one, that doesn't mean your learning stops. We talk about formal professional development. It's so needed, so important, and as is having a degree. You worked hard at that. Be proud of yourself. It's so important. But learning doesn't stop. You can always learn something new from someone else who doesn't know, I mean, maybe knows something more about something than you do. And that's okay. What I mean by that is maybe your teaching rhythm is not like a strong point of yours, but someone else is so knowledgeable about that and they are just so good at it. Maybe you are really stuck in how exactly to teach the barred instruments in your classroom, but there's someone else that's really knowledgeable about that. So a formal music education doesn't really tell you that. Like, it's just like, here's how you can do all the things and go out into the world and do it. But you slowly realize, well, wait, that's kind of out of my comfort zone. I'm not really confident in teaching that or comfortable, or really it's not really something that I feel like I'm very good at yet. But you will meet and make connections with others who are, and you can slowly pick their brains and ask them, hey, can you help me with that? Or, ooh, that's a good idea. And sometimes you don't even need to ask questions. Like I said, being a quiet observer will truly teach you a lot. So when you're in a Facebook group, or you're on Instagram or social media, anywhere you hang out, or in person, when you can do that again, you will slowly hear these conversations. You'll hear someone talk about a lesson they did. You're going to hear a way they like approach classroom management in a way that maybe you haven't thought of. You will learn by doing that. So I want to talk about one thing that a formal music education doesn't teach you is how to make music education relevant to your students. When I was sitting in that clubhouse room, I was thinking that, because hearing some of these different people talk, some of them who were a little bit more negative than others, but that's okay. Everyone is so entitled to their opinion. I always have that viewpoint. And one thing I heard a lot of them saying, or maybe they were kind of underlyingly, you know, saying it without saying it, if you know what I mean, was about the fact that they didn't feel like their music teachers made music relevant to them. And how do you make music education relevant to your students? By getting to know them, by knowing the community you teach in, by knowing the music your students are interested in, by knowing if something's not worked and not keep hitting the square peg into the round hole, by really knowing what works with your students. And that takes time. It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes patience. I don't know about you and maybe the college you went to in the music education program you were under told you that, but I know for me, that is something I did not learn, was the fact that, hey, you know, you may not teach the same kind of students. Your students may not like these songs we're telling you to teach. They may not like these activities. They may not respond to them the way that students at another school do. So approach your students the way they need to be approached. Teach them the way they need to be taught. Know them, have relationships with them, and make music education relevant to them. Always go back to the drawing board. It's about trial and error, really getting to know what's working, what's not, always reflecting about your teaching. And it's all, sometimes it's about relationships over content. Some days it'll feel like I didn't really teach music that day, but it's okay. Did you have more conversations with the students? Were you taking the time to really listen to them and saying, hey, let's play a song that you want to hear? It's about relationships sometimes over content. That's a way to make music education relevant to your students, because I promise you, when they become adults, I've gotten so many emails from former students about this. Trust me, I worked on rhythms and beat and note values and all the things. But what they remember most about my classroom is the fact that I took the time to connect with them and get to know them and made sure that they knew about the music careers and made sure that they knew they were loved and cared for before they left my classroom and went on to middle school. Your students one day will not email you and say, "Thank you so much for teaching me ta-ti-ti. I remember that to this day." And they probably will remember counting note values. And I'm not sitting here saying that's not important. But what I'm trying to tell you is, remember, it's about relationships over the content some days. Of course, the content matters. Of course, teaching the objectives and the standards matter. Of course it does. But especially this school year, someone needs to hear this, as you haven't been able to get to the content and objectives or cover them as much as you normally do because of this crazy school year. Have you been forming relationships? Have you been showing up the way you can show up? Have you been trying your best? Do your students know you care for them? So I know in my music education program, I didn't learn that forming relationships with students is important. My classroom management class covered classroom management. It was about the ins and outs of how to manage a classroom, but I don't remember there being a lot of discussions about relationships and how that's important and how making sure your students connect with you and connect with each other, for that matter, is so important. So bring real life experiences to students. Talk about the different musical careers and how valuable music education is. A lot of your students may only connect music education and what happens in an elementary music class with what happens in an elementary music class. Maybe they don't understand that there's a lot of different musical careers out there they can pursue. Maybe they don't understand the value of music and how they're going to carry it with them for the rest of their life. And maybe I understand you're limited for time, but maybe you're not really having these conversations with your students and talking to them about it. I mean, maybe you could schedule a Zoom call with someone who is in the world. Maybe we mentioned earlier, a sound engineer. Maybe have someone come. If they can't come into your school in person, maybe have them Zoom with your students to talk about the musical career they're doing and how they got there. So kids can realize that there's a lot of different directions music can go. And this does not mean that everyone in your classroom will one day be a professional musician or do music as their career, but it does mean that they will find the value in music when you find these different connection points and bring real life experiences to students and talk to them about music in the real world outside of just the four walls of your music classroom. So think outside the box. You don't have to stay stuck in your ways. I am just as guilty of this as the next person, but don't stay stuck in your ways. We're always telling students to grow and stretch and have a growth mindset. But what about teachers? What about music teachers? Are you growing and stretching yourself? Are you growing yourself to say, I learned how to do all these things in my ORF training or in my Kadai training or in college, but I'm seeing that there's some new ways I want to bring music education to my students. It's okay to think outside the box, and it's okay to not stay stuck in your ways. And also, it's okay to do things your way. When I started doing things my way, and I started really realizing that I needed to connect with my kids, and I knew the way they needed to learn, and I knew the way I wanted to teach, that is honestly when things started falling into place. I'm talking super quickly. I felt uncomfortable teaching a certain way I was told to do because it did not connect with my students in an urban setting. They did not respond to some of these folk dances, if I can just be completely honest with you. I had to really reinvent the wheel and really think about how am I going to reach these kids and make it relevant to them. So if you feel like part of the way maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, maybe your music education program just taught you to teach things a certain way. And you're like, but I kind of want to add more popular music. I kind of feel like my students need to do a little bit more than what I learned. Then do that. You know your kids. So make sure it's okay for you to remember that you can think outside the box and do things your way. And it's also okay to teach other types of music and to use popular music, including hip hop, rock, pop, etc. in your classrooms. I know a lot of the discomfort from this comes from the fact that we were maybe not taught that we can do that. And so I really want to tell you that it's okay to do that. Are you still teaching the objectives and content? If you bring in other types of music, of course you are. Are your students going to be so engaged when you do that and really be connecting the dots with music that they love with the different musical elements behind that song? Of course they are. So it's okay to bring in popular music, and maybe no one's giving you permission. I am. It's okay to do that. Of course, it needs to be school appropriate. And of course you can still, I'm not telling you just to do popular music, but mix it up. Mix up things you do in your classroom. And there's not a one size fits all approach to teaching music. So take what you learn and apply it in the way that best reaches your students. And honestly, if you've switched to a different school and you're like, okay, well, what I did at school A is not working at school B, it's because it's not the same school. It's not the same kids. It's not the same school environment. You're not working with the same colleagues. You're not in the same type of classroom. So you might need to switch things up a little bit and change it up because it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Music education, in our formal music ed programs, we learn about, you know, the different teaching approaches. It kind of touches on it a little bit and the teaching methods, but it just basically is like a blanket thing. Like, here's what you can do. Here, go. But it doesn't say that there's different types of school buildings. There's different types of environments you're going to be teaching in. There's different types of learners in your classroom. And that, how do you adapt that to meet these kids? So one thing I did not learn is that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, and that you can change it up based on what your students need, which I have mentioned in this episode already several times. So in my own life, I've met amazing musicians who are self-taught and don't have a music degree, didn't even go to college at all. And then I've met tons of people, of course, who have a formal music education degree or music degree for that matter. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. It doesn't mean you can totally learn from musicians who don't have a music degree. Because I really think musicians who don't have a music degree sometimes are free thinkers and are really just playing from their heart because they don't have music theory to hold them back. They don't have all these, you know, stipulations and guidelines placed on them that we learn in college. And not that I felt held back as a musician. I still don't feel held back as a musician. But I know sometimes I felt like I can only read music and not play by ear. I can only play by ear and not sight read or whatever it might be. But be you. Be the musician you were created to be, and also be the music teacher you were created to be. It's not that having a degree doesn't matter. It totally does. It just means that all that you have your degree, never stop learning from others and growing as a music educators. There's, of course, so many opinions out there already put on you by others, expectations of what they feel like a music teacher should be and how you're already maybe not feeling valued enough. So don't listen to all the opinions out there. Don't listen to the negativity. But individuals who are saying that they wish their music teachers as adults, looking back at their elementary music class, had made music class a little bit more relevant to them, maybe there is a reason they're saying that. Maybe there's a reason that they feel that way. So I feel like being open to others' opinions about that and really listening and then maybe taking it to heart and saying, am I making it relevant for my students so as adults they felt like they got a relevant music education experience in my classroom? I feel like that's important. It's important to think about that. And talk to your students and don't be afraid to try new things with them. So when, you know, if you're talking about musical careers and you're not exactly how to talk to them about it, don't be afraid to try new things. If we already talked about bringing a Zoom call to them with a person in the music industry, but try out other things. Maybe ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? If you have someone in your classroom who wants to be a DJ, encourage that. Don't say, that's not a real music career. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So have conversations and don't be afraid to try new things with your students. Sometimes you can have your lesson plans all planned out and you may feel like, I need to scrap that. I need to just kind of scrap what I had planned because I have other things. My students are really, I can kind of tell the class is moving this direction. So I'm going to reevaluate and replan things based on what they need from me. It doesn't, formal music education doesn't teach you to be yourself and to be okay doing things your way. So I want to encourage you that that is okay. This is not me talking bad about music education programs. In fact, I'm in the middle of a master's degree right now, so I'm still in college. College is so important. A college degree is something you'll hold on with you for the rest of your life. But with that said, don't let that be the only learning opportunity that comes your way. Listen to others in the music industry. Learn from them. Learn. Have they had a formal music education, or are they self-taught? Listen to your students. What are they telling you about what they need in music class? But then also know yourself and be comfortable with who you are and do things your way. And don't stress about the way everybody else is doing things. So with that said, I would love to hear what you think about this episode. Tag me on Instagram at Jessica Paresta, or as usual, you can always email me and come into the free Facebook group to comment in there as well. Have an amazing rest of your week, and I'll be back super soon. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.